Hi guys, I'm Renz. This is Propeller On Air, the second episode of the hotly new and anticipated podcast by Propeller Ads. And today we have two super affiliates again that have, you know, we have the pleasure of being with us. And one of them is Servando Silva. Servando is a longtime established affiliate who initially started blogging back in 2006 and finally focused on affiliate marketing in 2011. But I mean, like many, he obviously started with SEO and ranking websites, but let's hear more about Servando. Hi Servando, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks Ren, thanks for having me. Yeah, I got started in SEO quite a few years ago already. We still do SEO actually, which is it's very nice because it's a very stable income stream. But yeah, we started buying traffic 6-7 years ago, and since then we have been testing a lot of traffic sources and different ad formats depending on what our campaigns need, and it's been so far a very interesting experience for like 6 years, yeah, so far.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I mean, is SEO ranking websites still one of your main focuses, Servando?
Yeah, we are doing kind of half and half. So we do SEO and we also put a lot of efforts in our media buys. But because SEO is very stable and at the end of the day, we know that many of the websites that we are buying traffic from, they get traffic from Google or from other potential organic sources. I mean, it's kind of interesting to own the whole source and get the traffic yourself and also monetize it. So that's why we focus on both.
Awesome. That sounds very, very interesting. Our second guest today, he's also very well known in the industry of affiliate marketing. Eric Yepes is in the house, and Eric is a full-time affiliate marketer for more than 7 years, guys. Throughout these years, he's run, literally everything, right, Eric?
Yes, I think so.
How are you?
Hello, guys. I'm good, thank you. Hope you are having fun also.
Yeah, everything is perfect. I mean, it's a great pleasure to have you here. I mean, as I said, you've run everything. I mean, this is kind of like really well known. So you run bots, you run native, you run Adult, you run Facebook. And you mentioned that in the last 2 years, your main focus has been post traffic, right?
Yes, correct. That's true.
Which traffic sources are you mostly working with at the moment?
There are like a ton of push traffic sources at the moment. Of course, Propeller Ads is one of them. And there are like, I don't know, Evada, Zero Park. It's going now slow in my head. when I don't have it in front of me. But yeah, there are a lot of traffic sources, like all the main traditional push traffic sources. Also, I used to work a lot with Mega Push, but the quality is not so good there anymore. Lately.
All right. Okay.
But yeah, like almost source you can think of, I run.
All right, that's amazing. That's amazing. All right, guys. I mean, today, I mean, as you know, we previously mentioned, we are talking about the summer, the hot affiliate summer, and where, what, how should affiliates, you know, react to? I guess, you know, we have to mention, you know, the coronavirus pandemic. Affecting everything, almost everything in our lives, and of course, I mean, affiliate marketing as well. So, Servando, where do you think, what are the weakest points that affiliates should have to know about? I guess, you know, in terms of what kind of offers should they avoid, perhaps, or what kind of offers should they focus into?
Yeah, all right. So, yeah, because of the coronavirus, there are still a lot of countries that are closed down. The main one that I can think of is, of course, traveling, right? So traveling is still banned pretty much everywhere. So it's very difficult to, I mean, there's not a lot of people looking around trying to search for flights or hotels, anything related to traveling. That's going to be a hard time for, I guess, still a few months. I think I read something about Airbnb losing most of their business in just a few weeks. So that was crazy. And there's also a couple more that I can think of, but one of the the ones we're running and that we sometimes run with push traffic is dating. Dating has kind of changed a little bit because now, dating, it's the main purpose is that you go out and you meet some people, right? And then
right.
You do some fun and I don't know, whatever. However, if you cannot go out, or you can go out, but it's not recommended and you still need to wear a mask every day, so it's not that sexy anymore, I guess. Yeah, so I think it's gonna be slowly reopening, and people are still, like, they probably are starving more than ever to do some dating, but it's gonna be complicated for at least a few months more, so I guess the summer it's not gonna be the best one for those two verticals that I can think of right now. Those are the main ones, perhaps.
That's great. What do you think, Eric? What about your opinion about this? What kind of verticals should affiliates generally, you know, shy away from?
Like Servant already still the two main ones. So yes, I totally agree, like traveling and dating. So out of dating, I think it will be like very hot after the COVID. It like it will skyrocket.
I mean,
what else?
You know, obviously, like people, we tend to kind of like, you know, aspire having this kind of one-on-one kind of relations or communication. So dating, of course. But what do you think about sports betting? I mean, we don't have any sports-related events. Everything's canceled. I mean, I do see some countries like Germany, I guess, you know, trying to open up games and trying to start leagues. But is sports betting something that you're working on? And what do you think about this vertical?
Not really working on this vertical, but I think, yes, it's for sure down from this stand of view, from this viewpoint.
That's great. I mean, we see, I mean, on over Propeller, I mean, we do see other verticals such as, I mean, I would say these are like all year round kind of verticals, right? Like sweepstakes, you know, finance is much more stronger right now when it comes to like crypto offers or loan offers. Yeah. Are these kind of offers you're working with?
A little bit. I a little bit try some of the finance. It's not really my focus, but of course, like people are in need of money, especially now, like many people lost the job. So of course it's going up. Also, what else? Like finance include like insurance and loans.
Right,
course.
For
so
sure.
Good.
For
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
One
credit, yeah.
One small note for me is that we do see an increase on home appliances and gardening. I think that people have stayed, you know, too long in their homes that they're trying to like arrange everything, to try to like, you know, upgrade their homes or maybe their gardens or whatever. So we do see a fluctuation increase when it comes to these kind of offers. So affiliates, you know, anyone who's listening to us right now, make sure to, you know, collect all of these data, all of these information that we're sharing, because these are very vital. Because it's all about seasonality. It's not just about, I guess, COVID, which affected everything. But I mean, guys, you know, within the summer, you guys do know best what kind of offers to work with and all that. So I need to ask you, each of you, like Servando, what kind of offers are you going to focus moving forward into the, you know, the next couple of months? I mean, during the summertime.
Yeah, we have been focusing a lot on finance offers, actually, now that you mentioned. I spoke with some of the advertisers, actually, that are working here in Mexico, and payday loans are not that good because, I mean, there's obviously people are trying to get money, but it's more difficult to assess the quality of the person and the credit that they can give to them because of the pandemic. It's harder to get paid back, right? So
right.
They are being very cautious. But in other terms, like insurance or even like credits, it depends on the people, and obviously the country changed a lot. They are watching some really good results, and we are running some of those campaigns on Lithium mostly. There's also one vertical that we were running a lot, and this was during the stage that the coronavirus kind of started, which was pretty much the whole Q2 or second quarter, which was video on demand. Oh man, that grew like crazy. Like everybody was staying at home, so they wanted to watch Netflix or watch any movies online, series online. So video on demand was doing like really good. And we also had a website about that that grew their traffic like 20 times more than it used to. And now it's still a little bit higher than usual, but only like, I guess, 50% more. Whereas it used to be almost 20 times more higher than it used to be in this season. So I guess that's still gonna work for a little bit. Even if the people can't go out, they are being very cautious, and it's not recommended to go out unless you need to or for basic stuff. So I guess you still, like you said, there's time to kill inside our homes, and we are looking just everywhere to see what. Perhaps there's things that we never get to do because we supposedly didn't have time, and now that we do, it's time to do it.
What do you think, Eric? Do you think that video on demand will continue this, stable rise? Basically, it's one of those verticals that we saw quite a success across, all sources, across all platforms. Do you think this will continue, or because more and more countries are trying to opening up and people will have the chance to be out more, that there will be a decrease in demand on this?
So I think in general, like if you look at it generally, not only from the affiliate viewpoint, it will go up for sure. Like there are more new streaming platforms coming up, like lately the Disney Plus. And I think we will see more and more coming to this space, more companies. And regarding the COVID, I think it will a little bit stabilize and maybe go down, like push back. But I think after like winter is coming again and people will be staying home during long winter days and will be watching movies all the time.
For sure. So I mean, it's all about seasons, right? It's all about seasonality in this industry. For sure.
Yes, and I wanted to note also on the gardening stuff. I actually have an affiliate friend who told me the other day, like, I'm going to grow my salad, so he had to leave me. So there is definitely something to that.
Yeah, there's definitely something behind that interest, So yeah, so Phil is like, get your gardening offers ready, guys. what about geos though? What about countries that should we heavily target right now? Servando, what do you think? Where should we focus? Offers to run.
Well, I guess it really depends on the offers that you're running. It's always very kind of different depending on the regions and countries. Like in some regions, sweepstakes do really well, and then there's some other regions where cash on delivery does really well. So I guess that won't change as much because of the virus, but still,
right.
Again, it's mainly because of the cultures that people have. So for example, in the UK or the US, a lot of people can pay with credit cards, and it's clearly not possible for tier 3 geos, whereas they prefer to do cash on delivery or something different. So in that aspect, I don't think we are going to see a huge difference, at least for this summer and perhaps the rest of the year. Definitely when you have a look at the offers that networks have for you, and if you do some market research, you will notice some trends in different years, and it's kind of like you really need to get into those if you want to be... I'm not saying that you shouldn't try new stuff, right? You should... But it's very difficult because the market kind of knows already what's working there. So,
for sure, absolutely. But let's say you said that you're running mostly finance mm-hmm. offers. Where are you currently running your offers? Which geos are you targeting most?
Well, USA is one of the top ones. Pretty much any tier one, like I would say, United States, Canada, Australia. The UK, they always have a kind of a really good offers for insurance or similar stuff. And then you need to get very, like it's not that difficult to find some good offers also in other countries, in sometimes Europe or Latin America, or maybe Asia, but they are not as hot. So they have just a few advertisers over there. Some of them are testing like payday loans or credits. but it's not as diverse as with the tier one geos. So the easiest way is just to go with a network that focuses on finance or kind of lead gen offers, and then ask for the top geos. Usually you get a really good idea quickly of what's working. And there are some countries where you just don't see them. Like, for example, I haven't seen any offer about that in Africa, I guess. Yeah, so depends a lot.
Well, I mean, I don't know about you, Eric, but I've seen a lot of crypto offers being promoted in South Africa, actually.
Well, crypto, yeah, sure.
Yeah, but what about, Eric, what about you? I mean, I'm going to ask you the same exact question. What kind of offers are you running currently, and where are you running them? Which countries are you targeting most right now?
Yes, sure. So my main focus, like, is mostly sweepstakes. And also, as Servando said, it depends from the offer. But for sweeps, I had good results in Europe countries. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like tier two, basically.
Okay.
But also like Asian countries, like Southeast Asia is good for these kind of offers.
And are you running sweepstakes on SOI or CC Submit?
Yes. This exactly depends from the country. Like, in Europe, you have, like, they work well with the credit card submits.
Yeah, for sure.
But in Asia, it's mostly SOI because it's, like,
SOI.
It's just collection. So
that's very interesting. Is there any other offer out of vertical that you're running right now apart from sweepstakes?
Not really. Like, they are my main focus from last year. I, like, really focused, like, double down on sweeps, and I come up with my own landing pages, and I, like, totally custom coded everything and run, like, maybe 20-30 geos, so I can basically start there everything very fast, and if there is something new, I always try it.
Now that you mentioned about landing pages, I mean, I know for a fact that you have, you know, you're creating your own, you know, pre-landers and all that. I'm going to ask you a very interesting question later on, first of all, I wanted to ask, like, a follow-up question from, you know, the offers that you're running. Which ad formats are you seeing the most performance in? Servando, what kind of ad formats are you currently running your campaigns in?
Well, we are running mostly right now push traffic, pop traffic, and we are also running on Facebook. So those are our three main media buys that we do. For the affiliate offers, we mostly run push traffic, but sometimes we do pops as well because they kind of work. Like, when we find something that works in one of those two, it usually tends to work in the other one. So we use it to scale. Like, usually, not all the time, but yeah, it's a good way to scale up. We also tested a lot of the new in-page push, which was launched like a few months ago, and many networks still don't have it. So it's a new source. At the beginning, of course, there was not much volume, but it's been growing, and the prices have been stabilizing, and the performance is still good. So we use those pretty much those three type of ad formats, and sometimes we do interstitials, but not as common.
Interstitials.
Yeah.
Not as common, but when it comes to, you know, here at Propeller Ads, I mean, as you said, when it comes to in-page push, that was launched a few months ago, and as you, I mean, you know, clearly mentioned, volumes are stabilizing and increasing on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Eric, what do you think of interstitials? Have you tested interstitials with your campaigns?
Not really. I also focus mainly on push traffic, a little bit of pop, and testing this in-page push. That is working, like, pretty well in some geos, but not everywhere. Like, you have to test it a lot.
Okay, so maybe maybe this is the time to launch some interstitial campaigns, you know?
Yes, probably. Something I have to note.
I kind of feel like interstitial has been always that traffic source that everybody knows it exists, but sometimes they test it and sometimes they don't. It's just, I don't know. Like, many networks have interstitials, but it's not their main format.
Right.
Like the main, like the highest volume format. So many people focus on the highest volume, and then interstitial is kind of there and working really well, but you don't know because you didn't test it yet.
I agree with you completely. I agree 100% on that. However, with Propeller Ads, I mean, as you know, you guys, I mean, we have pop under as our, you know, cornerstone ad format. We've been, you know, a pop, you know, known as a pop network for so many years, and now we move to push, right? Right in the midst of, you know, the flourishing, the blooming of this ad format, and then we move to IPP, which is in-page push. Interstitial is an ad format that, as you said, not many sources are focused into. But with Propeller, we see stable, you know, this ad format, we're going to be focusing more and more into it and try to update a lot of the stuff in the back end with it. So make sure to test that with offers such as, you know, sweepstakes are doing performing, you know, a lot of performance there and some other verticals like I would say on streaming. That's also very interesting. So, yeah, Eric, I think it's time to test that interstitial format, you know.
Going right after this podcast.
Let's launch a campaign.
Okay, all right. So let's talk a little bit about juicy stuff now. What kind of targeting options, what kind of targeting aspects do you guys, you know, utilize with your campaigns? Are you targeting based on geo, based on user activity? Give us, you know, the gossip. Eric, what do you do mostly with your campaigns?
All right, so yes, of course, the geo depends from the offer, like what countries are allowed. And then you go deeper, like with regarding the user activity, I usually start with the high activity, like those are the freshest users that are responding the best. And if it's work out, then I slowly like test the other activities, like the medium and the low. Besides that, I usually target like the device type, so whether mobile or desktop. And also lately I target the browser, but it really doesn't depend on push. But there is a mix of browsers that not really work well. So, but mainly it's like Google Chrome anyway, so.
Okay.
What else? There is the bidding. Like the bidding, I usually start maybe with the recommended bid, and raise it if I need more traffic to scale. And also, I recommend like to start if the campaign is working. Like try out the other formats, like you have the IPP, the interstitial that I'm going to try.
Right.
And also like the. Like the pops, yes. Pops are working great with the CPA goal on Propeller, for example. I have some good results there. So that's something else for sure.
Servando, talking about targeting options and all that, tell us a few things that you do. And what do you think, as a follow-up question, first of all, what do you think about time targeting? What about time scheduling, rather? You know, campaigns, do you launch yours in the weekends?
Yeah, so for time targeting, it depends. With pop traffic, we pretty much leave it just the whole week and every hour. We don't really care. We try to gather as much data as we can before we can decide if maybe a day or some time zone is not working. With push traffic, we try to be a little bit more careful because there is good volume and then you receive some clicks very fast, and you also receive clicks even after pausing the campaign. You can still receive some clicks there, here and there. So what we usually do with push traffic is that we start our campaigns at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. just to be sure that people are not clicking during the night, or the notifications just go in during the night, and then when they wake up, they have like 100 notifications and probably get lost there. So this is basically what we do in terms of time targeting. We normally don't take out any days of the week unless we have one month of data. So at least 1 month of data. I don't like over-optimizing with just 1 week of data, and then it's like, oh no, okay, Sunday was not profitable, so let's block it, because you lose you lose a lot of potential there. So it's I actually prefer blocking the websites that are not working, and perhaps depending on the campaign, we can do some optimization on the browsers or operating system. And as Eric said, I mean, for push, there's not much that you can do in those terms, because it's mostly Android traffic from Chrome browser. But when you are doing pops, you can do a lot of filtering right there to take out all the browsers that are not working, or some like weird devices that are kind of old, and I don't know why you're seeing some traffic there. I mean, you can do much more than that, but the main factor that we optimize is definitely the websites or the zones.
The zone IDs, right.
That's definitely the best one. And for push, you can do some more stuff, like Eric said, like the engagement level, or check if... we always try to separate between geos, of course, and between devices. We never mix desktop with mobile devices or tablets. And if we are testing, let's say, push traffic, we separate in-page push from the classic push notifications. We pretty much separate everything that we want so that we can kind of find a target and scale and optimize mostly the campaign without having a lot of data in the same campaign.
So in general, you guys both agree that when you narrow down or break down a campaign based on user activity, you know, high, medium, low, or based on mobile or desktop devices, that affiliates should separate everything, so separate targeting each of these slices or each of these channels, right?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Because the bits are different, so it's easier to optimize that way.
That's amazing. That's, I think, a lot of affiliates, and I mean, hopefully new affiliates, should definitely follow through what you just mentioned and your suggestions about that. It's very important in terms of cost efficiency and all that, right?
Yeah, right.
Eric, I wanted to ask you about viewability. Is it something that you've used with your campaigns, viewability pixel?
Not really.
Okay.
Never tried it.
Right. I mean, a lot of people ask me about this because we just basically posted a blog about it, an article. So with viewability pixel, it's something that is very crucial when it comes to advertisers who don't necessarily have some kind of a tracking solution, right? So with the viewability pixel, you basically, when you don't have access to conversion data, you still need to optimize the campaign's performance. And by adding this kind of pixel, you get two parameters so far. We have engaged visits, which is basically is the number of users who came to the landing page. And I'm going to ask you, Eric, about that later on, about what you do with your pre-landers. And spent, landing page and spent more than 2 seconds basically on the page. So this is something very crucial when it comes to advertisers. And I think, also with you guys, maybe it's also something that you can use as well with your campaigns to check out exactly which users are more engaged with, your pre-lander or the offer that you're promoting. Is that something you're open to testing out, guys?
I maybe have a question, are we able to later optimize based on this data, or is just for information?
Absolutely. I mean, I guess, when you have a tracking data, when you have a tracking solution, you have all of all of this data, right? In terms of, geos, browsers, and all that. But with the viewability pixel, I think it matters most when it comes to, as I said, with users and also you guys to have additional data when it comes to, for example, how many users have engaged with your pre-lander. And from then on, perhaps, retarget them at some point or, do some other optimizations in back end for you guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's
a new feature, so I haven't really heard about it. We'll have to check it out.
Yeah, we have.
How about you, Servando?
We have posted a blog about it, and we're going to talk more about it, perhaps. Further on, because we're also in the phase of basically integrating it and making it something that everyone is, aware of. And it's actually active on our platform, so you better check it out later on. And if you have any, suggestions, feel free. I mean, we're very open to hearing a lot about, especially you guys and, tools and features that are, essential to you guys.
Yeah, right. Yeah, all definitely. Right. We haven't tested that. I did read the blog post about that, but haven't really had time to test it. And pretty much the only platform where we use pixels for retargeting is social networks, so like Facebook or other traffic sources. So this is something new for me in the terms of pops or push.
Absolutely. So a question for Eric, actually. I mean, you mentioned previously about you having your own freelancers. Is there anything that you can share with us that, you know, fellow affiliates can also take advantage of? Are you doing some kind of extra monetization scheme with your own freelancers?
Yeah, sure. So one of the things that I'm doing, and it's working pretty well, is like basically collecting push subscribers. For example, you have a network called ProPush that's working very well. So basically what you do, you just paste a small code, a JavaScript snippet to your landing page, and then to everyone who visits your page, who lands on your landing page, there will be the prompt for subscribing to notifications. So, and the nice thing about this is that it works almost like on RevShare. So basically you can have long-term, like kind of passive income. Like you always have to feed it with more traffic to keep it growing, but it's working like pretty well. It's like extra money. Sometimes even if your campaigns like are losing, let's say, but you can make it up with this monetization.
That's very interesting. So you're basically doing this via propush.me, is that correct?
Yes, correct.
That's amazing. I mean, if you guys, you know, the audience hearing us right now, have access to your freelancers, and you're the ones basically, you know, building them up from the ground up, this is also another source, you know, of income, I would say. And it's very interesting because you have full control of your freelancers, so why not make money off of them, right?
Definitely.
Servando, is that also something that you're doing? Is that something that you're also utilizing as well?
Yeah, definitely. Especially for pop traffic, since you receive a lot of traffic from different devices, it's a good idea to build your own. I mean, not your own. We kind of we are building from somebody else and then just getting revenue share, or you can get paid on CPA for each subscriber. Both work well. I guess it depends mostly on just testing your traffic and see what works better for you. But most of our campaigns, we do collect push subscribers. And sometimes in push traffic as well, if possible, it's not possible all the times, but we tend to split test the landing page to see how much it affects our conversion rate and CTRs between having the script or not having it. But yeah, for at least for pop traffic, we pretty much do it every time.
That's very interesting. Lastly, I have actually two questions for you guys. The first question is from Mark Ace 12. Is that correct? Mark Ace. Yeah, I think that's it. Where do you get your offers from, guys?
Me, Eric?
Okay, I can start.
Eric. Like,
okay. So I mostly use like traditional affiliate networks. The main I work a lot with is like Gotcha. They are pretty big in sweepstakes. Also recently they joined with another network that has dating, so they now have also dating offers. And also I work for sweepstakes, I work with some direct advertisers, for example AdCenter. They have a lot of like credit card sweepstakes. And also ClickDealer, that's a big network. They got all kinds of verticals.
We all know
everything,
ClickDealer,
I think,
right.
Basically.
That's
and I'm planning to check out for some time. I know Propeller also has the new network called Zado.
Yeah.
And it's on my list for some time. Just need to check it out.
The good thing
about this.
I'm sorry, I was going to say that the good thing about Zado is basically those offers that, you know, they have there are, you know, surefire offers that originated from Propeller. So it's a very interesting combination because all the offers there were direct, and I think, you know, affiliates should definitely check them out as well.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, so I have a second question. I think Servando should answer this one. But Servando, what do you think about utilizing or using creatives that are COVID related?
I mean, some networks don't really allow you to do that. So I guess it depends on how aggressive you are in your marketing. If you are like the classic creatives that promote, let's say, masks that kind of guarantee things that you can't really do, those aren't really ethical and it's probably not good. But we have tried doing some different creatives that kind of target the whole situation that's happening right now in the world without mentioning the virus in itself, and they tend to work well. So it's like, for example, if you're running finance, I mean, you know, people are tight on cash, or sometimes they are losing jobs, so that you can kind of target the creatives to that audience without really mentioning, like, hey, it's coronavirus time, so you need this. So pretty much that's the whole idea. I mean, if you understand the trend and what's happening in each country right now, you can try to target without doing without breaking the rules and being so aggressive.
That's very interesting. Eric, what do you think? Are you using such creatives for your campaigns?
Not really. I try to stay away from this. I think it's better. In the very beginning, I tried it. I have to confess, I tried it for like 2 days. But I didn't feel like well about it, so I rather stopped. And then actually there was like a news, I think, like some week later, like they stopped one of the advertisers who was selling these masks or something like that. So I think it's better to stay away from these angles.
Stay away
Maybe do it same like Servando, say like from a different view.
Maybe,
different angle.
Perhaps, yeah. You know, stay away from COVID. Stay away from any such creative, I would say. And focus into what the summer can offer you guys, you know, all affiliates. As we said, the offers to focus to right now are finance, sweepstakes, home appliances, gardening. We also see life insurance and health insurance, obviously. iGaming and all that. So make sure to listen to this podcast and, you know, check out and extract all of the information that Eric and Servando has, you know, have provided us. And guys, thank you so much for being with us. This is our second episode, and I hope that you had a good time.
Yeah, we did.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.
You know, I mean, I always try to tell, you know, my guys in the back team, you know, marketing, who's done an amazing job when it comes to setting up everything for us. You know, we always aim for like a 25 to 30 minute kind of session, but I mean, come on, we're talking, it's all lighthearted, and I think we have a good time,
chill.
You know. All right, thank you so much, guys, and as I said, this is the second episode of Propeller On Air. Make sure to tune in for more. And again, I would like to thank Eric Gepes and Fernando Servando for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having
thank
us.
Thank you, guys.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys. And we're out?
Okay.